Brett Favre spoke for what seemed like hours on Tuesday, and Aaron Rodgers will be featured on the NFL Network's Top 100 Players of 2015 on Wednesday night. We've got Packers quarterbacks talk, past and present, covered on Railbird Central coming up next. Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about Green Bay Packers quarterbacks past and present. To start off the show, we're going to talk about Brett Favre. No guest on today's show. You're just getting one man's unfiltered thoughts. I'll share some Packers fan reaction on Twitter in a moment, but to start off the show, Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre, former Packers quarterback Brett Favre, did three interviews on Tuesday in advance of his upcoming induction into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, his upcoming number retirement, and upcoming charity flag football game taking place at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. The day following his induction, of course, that was the big reason he did all these interviews, kind of to hype up these events, to drum up a little bit of interest and get people talking in the media. But Favre did three interviews on Tuesday. The first was on the Dan Patrick Show. And with Dan Patrick presumably on vacation, the fill-in guest, which this guest is, done, the guest host has filled in several times for Dan Patrick, Wisconsin-based Mike Heller of the Big 920 in Madison. I've been a guest on Mike Heller's show. I like Mike Heller a lot. So it was appropriate that the guest host was Wisconsin-based and got to talk to Brett Favre. After that, on the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee, on Green and Gold Today, that took place next. And finally, Favre did an exclusive interview with ESPN.com. So plenty of Favre talk over the past 24 hours or so. And, he almost spent an hour on Green and Gold Today. So there was, a lot of ground covered. I didn't think a lot of it was particularly like anything new or breaking that Brett Favre revealed any sort of, big time news that hasn't really been touched upon already. I mean, a lot of it is appropriately, reminiscing on his time in Green Bay. And I mean, that's what, seeing as he's being inducted into the Hall of Fame, that's what it should be about. But if there was one piece of kind of new information, kind of the biggest takeaway that I thought was the relationship Favre characterized with current Green Bay Packers coach Mike McCarthy, basically describing that the two did not talk during Favre's post-Packers playing career. Apparently they do talk now, exchange messages from time to time, but it was only until after Favre quit playing that the two communicate. And what the even more interesting part here is, whereas I think most people think there was kind of this frosty relationship between Favre and general manager Ted Thompson, it would appear as if Thompson tried to mend those fences to an extent. And I think these are things that are just coming out now that, of course, Ted Thompson, you know, plays things very close to the vest. I mean, he doesn't say anything unless it's at a press conference. So almost, I mean, Ted Thompson grants very few interviews. He does with the local media outlets about once a year, but that's about it. So unless Thompson is asked a question, it's he's not, you know, revealing anything. And so this is just kind of coming to light. So I think people always assume that there was the bigger beef between Favre and Thompson than there was between Favre and McCarthy. Not that, you know, you had heard at the time that when Favre left the Packers organization, I think, you know, both parties kind of, you know, they were asked by the media what happened when you met, you know, in that summer of 2008 when Favre came back and things, you know, had gotten, you know, heated, I guess, quote unquote heated, in, you know, discussions with both Thompson and McCarthy. But, you know, Ted Thompson, basically, here's the guy who did not bend to Favre's wishes that they should go out and acquire wide receiver Randy Moss. Here's the guy who ultimately was responsible for pulling the trigger on the trade of Brett Favre to the New York Jets. So I think those are the reasons people think there was this, you know, as I'm calling it, a frosty relationship with Ted Thompson. But as Favre described yesterday in these interviews, he even said, Ted kills you with kindness. And Favre described how when he was in his post-Packers playing days with the Jets or with the Vikings, Thompson would send him text messages from time to time, saying, hey, good game, or you know, small things, I guess. It's not as if they were lengthy discussions or anything like that, but I think Favre described how one game after he threw 6 touchdown passes, which was a career high, that Thompson, you know, reached out to him and it said how good he is. But whereas with McCarthy, they didn't talk at all. No communication, whether it's phone call, text, from what I can tell. And, you know, apparently again, you know, now they talk, they're on speaking terms, they're communicating terms, whatever you want to consider it if you're talking text messages. But, I just thought that was interesting that, you know, the two didn't communicate during while Favre was still a player. And I guess maybe you could read into that saying, you know, Mike's busy coaching his own team, but I don't know. I don't think that prevents him from necessarily talking to other players. So was still some sort of, you know, frosty relationship between the two of those, two of them, Favre and McCarthy for some point. That was kind of the takeaway that I saw from the interviews yesterday, things that I didn't necessarily know or know to that extent, I suppose. But that was kind of the main takeaway from yesterday's Favre interviews. Like I said, 3 of them, he got plenty into the upcoming games with you know the charity flag football game. It was kind of interesting that just. Ironically, I don't know if they're just coincidentally, I suppose, Donovan McNabb was arrested for DUI driving under the influence yesterday, or news broke about it yesterday. This is the second time it's happened to him, and McNabb just so happens to be the opposing quarterback in this charity flag football game that's happening July 19th at Camp Randall Stadium. I know I joked on Twitter if he's going to be suspended for the game. He obviously there's no ruling entity to suspend him, but I guess I do wonder if maybe he'll step back and maybe not do the game, just kind of, you know, step back and realize that in life there's maybe more important things that he needs to get under control.
I don't know. I don't know if that should necessarily prevent him from playing in a charity game, but like I said, coincidence that that news kind of broke yesterday as well. Other news today, in our day ahead kind of segment here on the show, current Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is going to be revealed on the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2015 list on Wednesday evening. This is the series finale, so to speak, of a, you know, a series that's basically lasted 2 to 3 months, long. They released 10 players at a time every Wednesday night. So, you know, 100 to, you know, 91, 90 to 81, et cetera, et cetera. All, you know, for the past 2-3 months, and it concludes on Wednesday night here, NFL Network. Let's see, 7:00 p.m. Central Time. The episode, I believe, begins, and it's a 2-hour finale. Seeing it with the top 10 players get a little bit more attention. They break down 5 players in an hour, so 2-hour long special with an hour long reaction show afterwards. So 3 hours of original new programming Wednesday night on the NFL Network. You can get your fix if you're into that. I'm certainly not interested in watching 3 hours of content. Might be interested in watching the segment on Aaron Rodgers, but Packers.com confirmed that Aaron Rodgers will indeed be in the top 10 of the NFL's top 100, kind of a foregone conclusion. But the only question is, how high does Aaron Rodgers rank on the list? And they released on Packers.com the top 10 that they give them here in no particular order, just alphabetical order. But here's the players that will be listed that you'll find unveiled tonight. And they are Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Kelvin Johnson, Andrew Luck, Marshawn Lynch, Peyton Manning, DeMarco Murray, Aaron Rodgers, and J.J. Watt. And what I did is I took to social media before the show, and I asked, where should Aaron Rodgers be ranked on this list, and where will he be ranked? In other words, I'm leaving open for the possibility that you think NFL players will disagree with your standpoint here. And it's interesting. I get the impression that people think that J.J. Watt will end up being the number one player on the list. He will be number one tonight. But it's almost as if some people are trying to make excuses that Aaron Rodgers will not be one on the list. And not everybody. I think, you know, some people just say, flat out, Aaron Rodgers should be number one, and I think he'll be number one. Some people, you know, say he'll be number two or number three, and you know, not really give an explanation. But a small, I don't know if it's small. But there's some people out there that seem to make some sort of excuse why Aaron Rodgers is not number one. It says, here's Michael Harris on Twitter says, I think Watt comes in at number one. Rodgers wins MVPs because he's a quarterback and more important to the team's success. I'm not really sure if that's rationale why he should be number one or not. Samuel Shear on Twitter says he's number one. He is simply the best player in the league. Now, here's an interesting one. Packer Faithful on Twitter says, he should be number one, but because of popularity, I think Watt gets one and Rodgers gets two. See, that's what I don't get. Is J.J. Watt more popular than Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. I tend to think nationwide it's almost equal. I don't know if that's just an excuse. Is J.J. Watt a better defensive end than Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback? And I asked that on Twitter too, and I got the response that quarterback is the harder position. And I don't know. That would seem to make the case that Aaron Rodgers should be ranked number one. Jordan Epping on Twitter says he should be in the top three, but will be the top five at worst. Josh McPeak says he should be number one, but I think he will be number three this year. Watt will be number one and Brady number two, solely due to the fourth ring. Joe Garnero on Twitter says number one because without him, the Packers are average. With him, they're Super Bowl caliber. So there's just a sampling of responses from Twitter weighing in on the list here. And I don't know, for some reason, here's what I think. I think J.J. Watt's going to be number one as well, and I think Rodgers is going to be number two. Now, you could certainly make the argument that as the reigning NFL MVP, Aaron Rodgers deserves to be number one. I do think he is the best quarterback in the league. As I explained before, at this point in time, currently, and with the 2014 season in the rearview mirror and the 2015 season just about to start, I do think J.J. Watt is a better defensive end than Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback. But, I do agree that quarterback is a tougher position to play. There's more to it. There's more you got to know. You have the possibility for perhaps a bigger impact on the game because you touch the ball every single play. I get that. So I don't know. I'm not even sure I can convince myself, however, that Aaron Rodgers should be number one ahead of J.J. Watt. I think Aaron Rodgers will be number two. I think Tom Brady will be number three. Kind of interesting. I'm not sure. There's going to be so much debate just about, and has been on, everybody lists their top 10 quarterbacks. So many media outlets do this, or they list the top 32 quarterbacks, one for each team in the league. And there's frequently a lot of debate about, breaking up the quarterbacks, who's number one, who's number two. And, I think Aaron Rodgers finishes number one on most lists. Kind of, at one point, I think maybe Peyton Manning was the top guy, but, kind of coming up, had his struggles last season, has kind of fallen off a little bit. Drew Brees falling off a bit too, seemed to be that he was quite a bit higher. But Tom Brady, still a very good quarterback, winning the Super Bowl, being the Super Bowl MVP, you can make the argument, I think at least, that he deserves to be ranked number one. Andrew Luck, a very good young up-and-coming quarterback. I'm not sure that, he's accomplished as much yet to be considered the number one quarterback in the NFL, but certainly a very good player and in due time could be the number one quarterback. We'll see. I think the jury's still out to on that aspect on Andrew Luck. But no doubt a very good, talented player. That's what's happening here on Wednesday evening. Like I said, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, the 2-hour season finale in which they'll unveil number 10 through number one. And it's only a matter of how high Aaron Rodgers will reach. Not a matter of if he'll be in the top 10 or not. We know he will. And kind of one final topic for the show here, kind of just revealed on Wednesday morning, the NFL and Tottenham Hotspur. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I'm not a soccer fan, but Tottenham Hotspur is a member of the English Premier League. Anyway, they agree on a 10-year partnership in which at least two games per year will be played at the team's new stadium. So two NFL games per year will be played at a new soccer stadium or multi-purpose stadium in London. London, UK, London, England. It'll be the home stadium of Tottenham Hotspur, but multi-purpose. You know, other sports can be played there. From what I've heard, they actually have a retractable surface that is grass, but with a artificial playing surface underneath, and the artificial surface is what the NFL will play on. I'm not, perhaps because they want to keep the grass, you know, nice for soccer, and that's kind of, they're unwilling to play on artificial turf. Kind of an interesting topic, just in light of what's happened with the Women's World Cup, that first ever being played solely on artificial turf, and kind of a lot of people out there feeling like women are kind of relegated to second-class status because that would never happen for men in soccer, that, you know, they would have to play on artificial turf. And also in light of the recent Kenny Chesney concert at Lambeau Field, in which the grass was, you know, there's dead grass basically after the concert happened, which will grow back, but it'll take a little bit of time. And, you know, they were unwilling to play the Brett Favre charity flag football game on the turf afterwards, just because they didn't want the turf to take any more of a beating. So you can understand why maybe Tottenham Hotspur will be unwilling to allow an NFL team to play on their grass. So they'll wheel the grass out on the retractable surface, and the NFL teams will play on the artificial grass instead. And to apply this to the Green Bay Packers, could the Packers be playing there? Well, you know, as in a 10-year agreement, I would say at some point, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that they'll end up playing in this new stadium. Games had previously been played at Wembley Stadium in London, and it appears as if they will continue to be played there. As you know, the NFL now plays three games in London, and this is only two games per year to be played at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. But the NFL is apparently considering games being played elsewhere as well. I know from reading the MMQB, Sports Illustrated's Monday Morning Quarterback, that they're considering games being played in Germany, in Mexico, and in Brazil. In fact, didn't they just announce there would be some sort of exhibition game being played in New Zealand in another year or two? Apparently with former NFL players and not current ones. So you know, a lot of international efforts by the NFL here. But as far as the Green Bay Packers go, I know there's this sentiment, this feeling that in 2016, so next season, the Packers will be playing across the pond in London, because it's already been determined they travel to play the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road next season, and the Jaguars have agreed to, you know, multi-year relationship with playing overseas, with playing over in London. Now, whether that game is at Wembley or at Tottenham, I'm not sure. That's still something that's going to be revealed here. Apparently, the agreement with Wembley Stadium is through the 2016 season, so games will be for sure played there at Wembley in 2015 and 2016. But there's been no agreement beyond that time, although I believe the press release by the NFL says they're hopeful that and confident an agreement, an extension will be reached there with Wembley as well. So you're just seeing a lot more football being played internationally by the NFL. definite, you know, kind of, you know, it's a focus for them to expand the game abroad. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation whether an NFL team could be based in London or elsewhere. And that could possibly happen. But what's looking more than likely is they're just trying to grow the game with other current NFL teams playing abroad and not necessarily, you know, being based in London. The NFL just will play 5, 6, 7, 8 games a year abroad, and teams will have to travel. And of course, the, you know, that's, it's been the Packers' standpoint and a point expressed by Mark Murphy several times, that the team has been unwilling to give up a home date. It's, you know, been so important that they sell out every game at Lambeau Field. They got a waiting list of season ticket holders that the team has been willing to play a road game in London or elsewhere internationally, but doesn't want to give up a home game. They don't want to give up all the revenue that can be made from concessions, from merchandising, from, and, you know, that they want to give the community an opportunity to serve the fans in terms of hospitality, hotels, restaurants, and all those kind of things. And that's certainly understandable. I wouldn't want to take a home game away from the Packers either. But they've been willing to be a road team. You kind of wonder if they keep growing the road international games. I mean, if, let's say they start playing 8 games a year internationally. I mean, that's 16 teams every season, 8 games, 16 teams. So that would mean basically every other year, every team in the NFL will be playing some sort of international road trip. I don't know if that's the way they will divvy it up exactly that way. You know, every other year you're playing, you know, internationally. But I mean, all of a sudden that maybe starts putting a little pressure on a team to give up a home game. But maybe it won't be that way if teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've been more willing to play abroad because they know they'll play in front of a sold-out stadium, whereas they won't at home. They can't even sell out their own stadium in Jacksonville, but they can, you know, in London because it's a novelty there. And they're rather poor, the poor record-wise with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But anyway, that just kind of all came about on Wednesday morning, or just announced, just revealed, right as I was waking up. Saw it, you know, bounce across my Twitter feed, press release, a joint press release between the NFL and Tottenham. So there you go. Packers, the likelihood that the Packers play abroad only increases with this announcement. So that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for listening to One Man's Rantings today. We'll be back again on Friday for the our monthly engagement with Scott McKenna of the Talk and Smack blog. We weren't able to get him on the first usually we have him on the first Friday of every month. Weren't able to get him on last week. We're getting him on this week on Friday. So looking forward to that. And my call to action here, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. There's no subscription, no paywall for this show. One small thing you could do, give us a rating on iTunes, helps us get the word out about the show, and helps us get a little bit bigger listenership, and that's our goal. Thanks so much, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll talk to you again on Friday. I leave you with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.